You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Now, we are not your typical how to do SEO podcast. No, we are not. With the help of our guests, we cover those all important topics around career development, personal growth, and mental health for those working in the SEO industry. You got to be working on your own internal algorithm. Like what we did there. So if you like the sound of our podcast and you think this is a bit of me, shall we crack on with this week's episode? 40% of survey respondents have experienced burnout, stress, and fatigue due to workplace communication issues. Let that sink in for a moment. Does that surprise you? When I first read that stat, it definitely stopped me in my tracks, and it just goes to show how important communication skills are in the workplace. They're also very important in our personal lives too. Whenever I see a breakdown in a relationship, whether that's with a loved one, friend, work colleague, client, one of the most common reasons is a breakdown in communication. Working on these skills are important for both leaders and individuals. From an individual point of view, if you look at the top most desired skills, communication is up there. So, in this episode, we share more stats, discuss our own experiences, and also cover benefits and how you can work on your communication skills. So make sure that you stick around till the end, because we will give you actionable strategies that you can implement today. Reminder that you're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. And before I play this episode, just a reminder of how you can support us. You can give us a one-off donation that costs the same as your favourite hot beverage from your favourite hot beverage shop. And there'll be a link in the show notes to do that. Massive shout out to everyone who has done that. It definitely helps us cover costs that are involved in running a podcast. Also, help us spread the word. If you think such and such would really enjoy this episode, why not share the podcast or a particular episode with them? Right, without further ado, shall we crack on? Tasmin, how would you rate your communication skills?
Oh, a generous 6.
Oh, I like how you've done it straight on a scale of 1 to 10. So you're giving yourself a solid 6 out of 10.
Well, okay. Yeah, 5.5/6, maybe.
Why is it as soon as I dug a little bit deeper then you're like, oh no, I need to knock off half a point? Be strong with your selection of 6 out of 10. If you think that is right and it was your first answer, stick with it.
You see, already I'm showing you in practice all my communications, like, ooh, I don't know.
Oh, funny. Well, for me, personally, this is an area that I've been trying to work on myself. So both in a professional work setting, but also in my personal life as well, because I don't know about you, I've got some very interesting and great stats to share with you and our listeners. But when I'm talking to people, when you see sort of advice on like how you can build better connections, how you can be more understood, all of this stuff, it seems that the key to it all is good communication skills, right? That seems to be top of that priority list.
It makes sense, because you can have all of the knowledge in the world, you may have great intentions to be helpful, so on and so forth, but if you can't communicate that, then it's almost like a hidden treasure.
Definitely. And working on your communication skills as well, and we'll get into this more in the episode, but you can it just opens up so many opportunities. There are so many benefits to it. So that is why I picked this topic this week. And can I start by sharing some facts and stats? That's hard to say in a row, isn't it? Facts and stats. Get your teeth around that.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it.
I'll make sure, listeners, that I'll pop a link in the show notes where I got this data from. But I just want to, like, have a think about these stats, Tasmin, and I want your first reaction and response once I've said them, right? So, number one, poor communication costs companies in the US between $9,000 and $30,000 per employee per year.
What? That's a lot. Say that again.
It is a lot.
Say that again, Sarah.
So, poor communication in a work setting in businesses can cost companies between $9,000 and $30,000 per employee per year. So we're looking annually, yeah?
Okay. Wow.
40% of survey respondents have experienced burnout, stress, and fatigue due to workplace communication issues. 40%. Nearly half. 63% of people have considered quitting their jobs because of poor internal communication. And obviously there's going to be other factors. Like, it's never normally just that one thing that you're like, right, I'm gone. I can't stick around. But a lot of people are saying communication is one of those key areas. And then my last stat is only 15% of organizations follow through on employee feedback with clear communication and visible actions. So companies are asking people that work there for input, feedback, thoughts, but they're not always actioning it. And if they're not actioning it, they're not telling people. Or if they do action it, they're not telling people. So there's quite a lot of communication skills there to unpick, that issues, isn't there, to unpick?
Yeah. I mean, that last one then leads to all sorts of other issues like mistrust, you know, why bother even doing the feedback when they're not going to do anything about it, so on and so forth. When you told me about the topic, I knew that it was an important topic to have, but having those stats to sit behind it just really emphasizes the importance.
Yeah, and I just picked a handful. So again, guys, go to the show notes because I've put a link to where I got this data from, but there's other interesting stats and facts in there. And it just goes to show that poor communication, it's not only costing businesses money, but it's leading to burnout, mental health, well-being of employees, companies losing out on talent because employees are moving and going elsewhere. So it is a really important factor. So of course, those are the issues then if we're neglecting communication skills. I now just want to run through benefits of good communication skills, and I've sort of split this out into a bucket for leaders, managers, and business owners, and then another bucket for individuals. So, starting with benefits for leaders and business owners, if you are working on communication skills and you're prioritizing that as a skill, you can be looking at better employee engagement, higher retention, greater trust. You can actually save money. You're building a untoxic environment. So you're actually untoxic. I don't know if that's a word, but what's another way to phrase it? You're actually building
a healthy environment.
healthy. So you're actually building an environment that is healthy, where employees can thrive. So those are some sort of core benefits that come to mind for me, for leaders and business owners. What am I missing, Tasmin?
I mean, you mentioned the cost to business. You mentioned about how they were losing employees. Now, you mentioned that people are burning out through poor communication. Be interesting to understand what that actually means. One thing that springs to mind is when an individual is trying to communicate something and is over-explaining because of all sorts of other reasons, because there is a disconnect between the two people, whatever. So I've seen that in clients where they just burn out because they're exhausted trying to explain this thing. Now, if that's happening at a leadership level, that's also going to reduce the risk of burnout. If they are able to communicate what they want to say, that's going to help their mental health as well.
Definitely. It's a win-win on both sides. And some benefits on an individual basis is good communication not only improves productivity, but you're also improving your skills in collaboration, so working together with other people in teams. And it can also do a lot for motivation. Yeah, it can give people that oomph that they need. Employability. Yeah, so whenever there is research about, okay, what skills are businesses and brands looking for when they're employing new people? We already did an episode on strategic thinking, analytical thinking. Yeah. So we'll link to that episode in the show notes because that's an important skill. But another important skill is communication, because it's not just communication within the team, within the business. So depending on your role, you might have to communicate to stakeholders, or you might have to communicate to the C-suite. You might have to communicate to people who are making decisions for the business. But there's also clients as well. So if your agency side, you need to be able to effectively communicate with your clients, because one of the biggest reasons why relationships break down, interestingly, both personally and in a professional setting, is a lack of communication. People feeling like they've not being thought of or cared about enough to speak to and talk to. Other benefits is better confidence. So if you feel like you're a good communicator, that's only going to do good for your confidence, and less stress and fewer missed deadlines as well. So those are some benefits on an individual basis. I'm starting to get into my head, Tasmin, because this whole episode is about communication, and I'm like, am I doing this well? Am I communicating?
The same thing happened to me. I was thinking, oh, what word should I choose? Another thing I just thought about is you're going to have a better chance of influencing if you have your communication is better.
So talk 100%. Can you build on that a little bit more?
If you're passionate about something and you want to, you've thought of an idea and you've been given the go-ahead saying, okay, go off and build that idea or build a case for that to implement that. That's going to make you feel good if it is implemented, but you've got to then be able to communicate that with other people. Now, often in those cases, that idea is sitting in your head, the passion is in your head, you've built the case study, that's all in your head, and you go to present it to the C-suite or team meeting or wherever it is. They've been on that journey. You've been on that journey.
True.
So they don't know. And then you may assume that they have the same passion, the same interest in that topic as you do. So understanding other people is a huge part of this. However, if you can take them on that journey and get your idea path, whatever it is, that's really special. And then that skill then can translate into, you know, you've had a practice run of it. You're going to be able to use that time and time again.
That's such a good point. And I really like how you worded influence, because you're so true. Like, lots of us listening to this episode right now, and me, I can relate to when I have to show up and be an influence to people I'm working with, to clients. Because like you said, just because you know a topic or a campaign or idea really well, and you know all the benefits and you know why you should be doing this thing, people aren't in your head and they're not going to know. So it's so important to be an influencer, really, isn't it? Being an internal influencer that's actually where you can actually get people excited.
Yeah, because if you want to have any sort of impact, be it in your own business, in the workplace, in the community, in your own home, if you are unable to communicate what is important to you and why other people should also find it important, then you're not going to be able to have that impact, and that's not going to feel great. Another area that just popped into my mind is, you know, we talk about the importance of knowing how to sell, whether that's selling a product, whether that's selling yourself, even on simple things like posting on LinkedIn to increase your visibility. Even that is a form of communication. How are you communicating? Jane. Who are you? What do you think is important? What do you want the reader to know about you? So there's so many facets to this.
You just got my brain thinking as well, because actually, if you're working on your different communication skills, another benefit is there's lots of different platforms and lots of different ways that you can communicate. So if you're working on your communication skills and you're practicing and you're seeing what works, you can then be like, okay, if I'm communicating in person, this is what I need to do. If I'm communicating via email, I need to handle it differently because of X. If it's a Slack message, do you know what I mean? It's sort of, it's not a cookie cutter scenario. Like, communication skills need to be flexible. You need to adapt. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is by practicing. And it's not just the different channels as well. It's who you're talking to. Yeah. So it's understanding, okay, how do I need to effectively communicate with this person? So, for example, you might have some people who don't want fluff. They just want to know what the information is and what you're going to do about it. What is the action? They don't want the fluff. They just want it concise, clear, and direct. Other people may find that rude. So, and I'm not saying it's rude, I'm just saying how people's brains are, right? Some people might want the fluff. Some people might want it more conversational. So it's about understanding, and I suppose this is more for leaders, managers, or business owners, it's about the importance of understanding your employees, who you've got in your team, so then you can communicate the best way, right?
We did an episode on this, do you remember?
We did. Yeah. We did. And so it was based on a cracking book. Sorry, the title was Surrounded by Idiots.
Yes, I remember now. Gosh, that was a long time ago. And it was basically saying there are the reds that just want the direct communication. There are blues that want the detail. I can't remember what the yellows and reds want, yellows and greens wanted. Yellows were quite... what's the word? Playful, excitable.
They like, yeah, so yellows.
Emotion.
Yes, yeah. So it's going back to that. So we need to make sure to link to that episode as well in the show notes, because that's related. Okay, Tasman. So we are at our halfway point. So let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to give our listeners some actionable tips on how we can be working on our communication skills, and we'll be looking at it on an individual basis and a leadership brand business owner basis. Does that sound good?
Brilliant. Looking forward to it.
Join us for part two. It's your pal Sarah here, just popping on to let you know how you can support the podcast. For the same price as a Starbucks, Costa, or your favourite local coffee shop coffee, you can give us a one-off tip or a monthly donation. All you got to do is follow the link in the show notes. And also, have you subscribed to the podcast? If not, why the heck not? If you do subscribe, you receive notifications whenever a new episode is available and ready to listen to. And while you're there, why not leave us a cheeky 5-star review or rating?
Hi, Tasmin here. Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Be more visible, earn more, but also take care of your well-being and have work-life harmony? Well, I can help you because I'm offering you a free 30-minute consultancy call. Together, we can go through where you want to be and how to get there. Simply click in the link on the link in the show notes, fill in a form, and I'll get back to you.
Tasmin, are you still with us?
Definitely.
Good. I'm glad you haven't decided to, you know, part two. I'm gonna do something else, actually.
I'm going to lie down, have a snooze.
Did you have a nap earlier today? Because I know when we talked before the podcast, you were like, I'm having a nap today, Sarah. It's going to happen.
No nap. I've been surviving on like 4 hours sleep for the last few days. So.
Oh, gosh. Gosh. Well, there you go. Right. So now it's time to share with you all lovely practical ways that we can be working on our communication skills. So I'm going to start with individuals. Tasmin, at the end, please do pipe in with thoughts, anything that you think I've missed, and then we'll do the same for leaders and managers and business owners. I need to think of a better way to communicate that pool of people. Anyway,
leadership.
Leadership. I can. See, in real time, me and Tasmin are working on our communication skills. Right. So, number one, build habits around confirming what has been said in a meeting or face to face or on the phone and agreed deadlines and deliverables. So this could be as simple as, so just to confirm, we have agreed that X will be delivered by X. Because then that gives everyone in the call that opportunity to be like, oh no, that's not correct. Or any ambiguity, that's a hard word to say late on a weekday evening. It eradicates that. It makes it really clear and concise for everyone. And it may be that you've misheard something or someone hasn't communicated something that clearly. So just asking that question towards the end gives that space and opportunity just for any errors or anything that is wrong to be fixed, basically. Earlier, we said that poor communication can result in stress, burnout, overwhelm, all of that horrible stuff. So another thing that we can be doing is practice on being direct, clear, and concise in our messages. Because the more direct, the more concise, the more clearer picture that we can paint, it reduces that back and forth. Yeah? Of course, there's always going to be a bit of back and forth, especially over emails or Slack messaging, but see what you can do to reduce that. If communication isn't working on email, suggest hopping on a call, because maybe there's too much back and forth, maybe there's too much nuance, maybe it's just not working. And you can vice versa it. So we've all been in those calls that could have easily been an email or a message, right? So don't be afraid to communicate that and suggest ways of having meetings, having discussions, getting important messages across in different ways that suit different situations. Please don't be silent. If something isn't clear, always ask questions. How many times have you been in a meeting where it's not quite clear or something's got a bit strewed a long way, and as soon as someone has asked the question, you're like, oh, I'm so glad that person asked that. Be that person. Don't be silent. Speak up. Ask questions. Be curious. It doesn't make you look like you're stupid. It doesn't make you look unprofessional. Actually, it helps with respect, because if you're curious, if you're asking questions, it shows that you're listening and you care and you want to make sure that you are following along. Practice active listening. So have we done an episode on active listening? We have. We've done so much, folks. We'll link that in the show notes as well. But really working on your active listening can help with lots of communication issues. So Tasmin, how would you explain active listening?
So for me, the way I understand it is you're having a communication with somebody, you're trying to understand where they're coming from, their point of view. And sometimes, often what happens is they'll start explaining and you think you know what they're going to say, and you then interrupt and will say, oh, rah, 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 because you've connected it to something else, instead of just letting them continue and you keeping your mind blank. All you're doing is listening to what they are saying.
Yes.
And a good thing to do at the end of that, especially I find with people who are more introverted, they've said what they're going to say, and then they're expecting you to say something else. Don't. Pause. Be really comfortable with silence, because often they will then add something else to it.
Yes, that is also a cracking interview technique as well. You can get gold when you get comfortable with silence, and because it gets that person that you're talking to, interviewing, to expand or have that space to say something else of value or something that you might not have got. And it's always very annoying. I do this when someone tries to finish a sentence and they get it wrong.
Somebody was in a meeting. I'm not going to say who it was because we both know them. They're in a meeting and they were trying to say something and somebody else interrupted. So they tried again and they interrupted, and they tried again and they interrupted. The second person interrupted. And then this person, who we both know, said, oh, sorry, is the beginning of my sentence, is the middle of my sentence interfering with the beginning of yours? As in, talking, shush.
Oh, that's funny. And then my last tip is early signs of issues, problems, or even before they happen, communicate this with your team, with your manager, or with your clients. Sometimes we want to bury our head in the sand. And I know I definitely, when I first got into SEO as a career, of course, not everything goes in the right direction. Life happens, things go wrong, Google does something. And yeah, you sometimes have to deal with issues, things going wrong, graphs going in the wrong direction, don't bury your head. Get ahead of it and communicate. Because if you communicate any issues or problems, it shows that you're in control and you can be trusted. That, like, you know, this person's got it. You've addressed the problem. You explain what has happened. But crucially, give a solution. What are you going to do to fix it? And then what is the outcome? What are you going to do next? So is it, this is the problem, this is why it's happened, this is the solution, and I will follow up tomorrow with an update. Or you might need longer. I will follow up within 48 hours. But communicating issues and keeping that communication as well, because maybe it's not an easy fix, but regular updates to let, like, your client, boss, your team in the loop of what's going on is only gonna help that situation. Burying your head and staying silent is gonna make things worse. Absolutely. Over to you, Tasmin, for individuals.
So following on from that, if you are leading a project and you're working with stakeholders, agree from the offset, how often do you want updates? So this isn't the, oh, the building's burning down update, that you don't have to go off and look at an email to see how often you're supposed to speak to them. But in general, how often do you want these updates? And if they say, for example, once a week, and there's a week where nothing much has happened, send it anyway. So that's such a good one.
Yeah.
Another one, you know, you mentioned problem and solution. I totally agree with it. The other one I want to mention is sometimes we ask the question and we answer it all in ourselves. So I would like a pay rise, but I guess it's not possible right now because costs of the business are too high. Don't do that. Sometimes it's okay to let the other person feel slightly uncomfortable. If you are well within your right to ask the thing that you want to ask, I would really like to have a one-to-one with you because I've got something important to discuss. However, if you're busy, it's okay. Let the other person say they're busy. They may say it, but don't shoot yourself in the foot. So that was one that I wanted to say. And then I've got a few tips on how to have they're small tips on how to have a conversation. So if there is somebody that you want to discuss something with, and it's something a little bit more serious, and this is really good for personal relationships as well. I know we're talking about work, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about life. So Sarah, suppose you and I had, like, I you'd done something and I needed to talk to you about it.
Oh, okay.
Happens all the time. No, it doesn't.
Can't control that, Sarah. She's
honestly, she's again. What step number one would be to say to you that I'd like to talk to you about something, and set a time where it's convenient for both of us. Don't just chuck it at someone, especially if you want, you know, a tangible outcome to come from it, rather than just a rant. So that's number one. So you're both in control of that. Number two is to understand, before you go in to have that chat, what a good outcome is for you, rather than the conversation going here, there, and everywhere. And the third step is go into that conversation with the right energy. So even if, and not that it's ever happened, even if, like, I'm really annoyed at Sarah, really, really annoyed, I have to remember that we are, you know, we co-host this podcast, that she's an individual that I respect, and the podcast is something that is important to me. So think of it as we are one team, and that's the energy I go in with, rather than the energy of, that's Sarah, she's, and, you know, with that negative energy, because it's going to be much harder to get a good outcome with that.
Can I develop on that as well?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes It is making me laugh that maybe you're foreshadowing and you're like, something's going to happen between me and Tasman. We're going to have a massive falling out. Touch wood. That would never happen. You're a delight to work with, Tasman. Anyway, before I derail anymore, another thing is have empathy as well. So yes, it is valid to have your emotions. It is valid to get frustrated, annoyed, upset, angry even. It is valid to have those feelings. But like you said, Tasman, it's not going to be helpful if you bring that energy. And one way that may help, because this helps me, is have empathy. So we don't know why this person is acting like they are, or they've done this particular thing, especially if it's out of character. Yeah. But we don't know what someone's dealing with in their personal lives. So always, always go at it with empathy. And we've talked about this before, Tasman, and you said that in those scenarios, or like, try to come up with 40 excuses for that person, 40 reasons why they've acted that certain way. Because then once you've gone in with empathy, you've read the room and the situation, and you've had that conversation, because you've created that safe space and you've not ended up shouting or getting defensive, they'll come around and be like, look, I'm really sorry. Like, thank you for being understanding. And actually, it's a way to not get an apology, because that's not the reason you're doing it. But there's been so many times where I've been in certain scenarios and where I've stayed calm and collective and carried on showing up as my best self. Actually, towards that end, that person has then apologized and been like, look, I'm sorry. And then either opens up or just says, like, things aren't great right now.
And you know, talking about the 40 things, it's up to 40. I never get to 40, but it's just trying to see things from another person's perspective. And the other thing that does is it removes that negative energy from yourself, because you thought, oh, well, maybe they're having a bit bad day, or maybe something is bothering them. Maybe they're not feeling well. All sorts of reasons can lead to somebody's poor behavior, you know, inconsistent behavior.
Could not agree more. Let's lead on to leadership. Lead on to leadership. Let's move on to leadership. I'm not even going to listen back to this episode because I'll be like, oh, Sarah's communication skip now. Joking. Anyway, so what can leaders do? First tip, be sure to communicate the why. Why are you doing something in a certain way? Communicate that with your team. Communicate with whoever it involves and impacts. So let's say, for example, you head up SEO for a department and you've put together an SEO strategy and you've mapped it all out. Make sure that you're explaining that to everyone that's involved in that project, because when people know the why behind something, it's easier for people to act on it because they're like, okay, this makes sense, rather than people just being confused and being like, why am I even doing this? You're taking that away. Get in the habit of recognizing good work by your team members and make sure to communicate it. Doesn't always have to be in front of the team. It could be when you're in person, or it could be a quick message, but a quick thank you or a recognition can go a long way. It makes a team member or someone feel really good. Whenever I do work for a client and they express that they're really excited or they really like the work, it makes me feel good. And I'm imagining, as soon as I've said this, you're thinking, yes, there's been so many times when someone said something nice and it's made me like smile and go all like giddy. do that for other people. You don't even have to be a manager or leadership. It could be someone in your same team or someone that you admire or a friend or someone close to you, your loved one. But just saying thank you and a little bit of recognition goes a long, long way.
Can I share something?
Yes. Yeah.
Hussein and I have been married for almost 10 years and have known each other for maybe 14-ish. Every cup of tea I make him, every meal, every anything, he will always say thank you.
Couple goals. See, you come here for advice in your career and in your professional life, but you also get bonus tips and advice that's going to work in your personal too. We're a giving bunch, me and Tasman. Right. Next up, create a safe space for people to ask questions and raise concerns. And if this is new as well to a team or to a business, or maybe people aren't so comfortable in coming forward, be proactive and ask the question. So during one-to-ones or during team meetups, ask the question, does anyone have any concerns? Does anyone have any issues? Be aware that not everyone will want to talk about it in front of people. So address that as well and just say, if you don't feel comfortable raising it in front of the group, send me a private message. But you really want to be creating that safe space where people feel supported and they feel like if there's an issue or there's something that's not going right, that they can raise it. And also you need to have a process that makes that really easy as well. So make sure that in your team or within your business or the people that you manage, there's a clear process of what people can do if they need to complain or they need to raise an issue, right? Because that's not always clear to do either. And then my last one, and this leads back to one of the stats that I shared at the beginning, but if you ask your team for input, if you ask your team for their opinions, their thoughts, one, communicate that with your team. If you can't communicate, and that's valid as well, because not everything can be implemented. Tasman might come to me with a wonderful idea for the SEO mindset, but I'm like, Tasman, we can't have 100 branded mugs to send to people right now, just as an example. Like, but just because something can't be implemented right now, let the person know who has come up with that idea. And explain and just say, look, we'd love to do this. We love the ideas and please keep them coming. But the reason we can't do this is X, Y, and Z.
So Sarah, why can't we have 100 branded mugs?
Because both our faces wouldn't fit on the mug. There you go. There's my answer.
Oh, they're all valid points. I've got a few extra.
Go for it. I'm all ears.
You know when you were saying that if, when you communicate something, tell them the why. Also, ask and you mentioned about asking questions and being and having that safe space where they can ask you questions. Number one, don't be afraid of asking another question if you've not understood it. So you may say, what are your thoughts on this? And they say, whatever. If you're not sure, you can say, can you give me an example? Or tell me more. Tell me more is a good one because it gives them that permission to expand. If you're in a team meeting and somebody has built up the courage to say something, they're going to probably say it really quickly really short, just to get it out of their heads. But they may not have put the full detail in that question or that comment. So give them that space to say, you know, tell me a bit more about what you're saying, or can you give me an example? And be comfortable with saying, I don't know the answer. I will find out for you.
Yes, because it's okay not to have the answer. And actually, you could make someone feel really good about themselves. You'd be like, do you know what? That's a cracking answer. It's such a good answer that I, sorry, such a cracking question that I don't even have an answer right now. And then you follow up. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, because at the rate that things are changing, the speed that things are moving along, I don't think anyone is in a place where they have all of the answers all of the time. It's just not feasible. So yeah, just saying, not sure. I will get back to you.
I think as well, it helps build trust and shows that you're showing up authentically, because if you try and botch an answer just because you're like, oh, I can't be honest here, you're just going to shoot yourself in the foot. It's going to get awkward. So actually just being like, do you know what? I don't know the answer to that, because at the end of the day, we're humans and we're not going to know everything. We're not going to get everything right. Even AI hallucinates, right? Like there's been so many reports or like posts where people are calling out AI for just making up answers or sharing fake data. I mean, that's a side point anyway. But yeah, it's okay not to know all the answers. And actually, as a leader, if you're saying to your people, I don't know the answer to that, that just sort of shows to them that they can also be honest if they get asked a question that they don't know. So it's that nice, lovely, healthy environment where people feel supported and yeah, they can grow and thrive.
And they can trust their leader. And goodness knows we could do with a bit more being able to trust our leaders in the current climate.
Gosh.
That's whole other episode.
I know. Sarah and
I. Oh, dear me. Don't just spew out rubbish because you can.
There's so much that I want to say. But yeah, you know.
And if your leadership team is spewing out rubbish, for goodness sake, challenge them on it. It's when you don't challenge them that they just end up thinking it's an okay thing to do, and it is not an okay thing to do.
Maybe that's a good episode for us, Tasmin.
Yeah,
how to. But I think we need to talk about that, how we challenge when we know that misinformation or leadership is telling a story that's not real. I think that would be a good episode. But anyway, before we get into that.
Oh, we need to wrap it up quickly.
We do. So Tasmin, what's one thing that you've learned from my episode today? If you're taking one thing away.
I think it's where you, oh, sorry, my God, in my throat. You know what, so much, Sarah. But I think the thing that I had sort of slightly forgotten, which was a good reminder, was understanding the type of individual that you're speaking to. That there will be those who like direct communication and those who would like facts and figures. And I think because of the type of work I do, the type of people that I end up coaching are more or less the same. And I've got used to having those types of communication. So it'd be good for me to refresh my mind on how to work with different types of people.
There you go. Right, that's us. That's the SEO mindset. We will be back with you every Thursday. There's always episodes for you to enjoy every Thursday. The easiest way that you can get reminded so you never miss a new episode from us is subscribe. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, subscribe or follow the SEO Mindset podcast and you will get notified. So there'll be a link in the show notes to do so. Tasmin, tease an episode that's coming up.
Oh, I've got a cracking one with Erin Simmons. I'm not even going to tell you the title. Because it's work in progress, but the last time I messaged them and said, what about this? The response was love, love, love. Bit.
Erin is such a good egg. Is such a good egg.
Put it. So I think recording next week. Hopefully next week's episode will be Erin and I. So you won't have long to wait to figure out what we're going to be talking about.
I love that you're teasing our audience there, Tasmin. You little tease. Right. And yes, another way that you can support me and Tasmin is give us a 1F donation. So for the same price as your favourite hot beverage from your favourite hot beverage shop, you can support us and give us a 1F donation. There's a link in the show notes to do that. I think that's everything, isn't it?
That is indeed. You did well. You communicated that well, Sarah. Well done.
I'm going to get so in my head now of, oh, I could have said that bit better, or I could have communicated that much more efficiently. But no, it's happened. We've had a lovely conversation. So, everyone, look after yourselves. And until next time.
Take care, everyone.